I have a lot of problems with my thoughts. You know, my thoughts can create my actions. And my actions can create trauma in my life. So I have to take all my thoughts captive. So I thought, okay, I wonder how many brothers and sisters that go to faith-based mentoring have a problem with their thoughts. And if none of you do, please understand I'm just practicing. But if some of you have problems with your thoughts, I pray tonight when we walk out of here that you will have a different understanding of how to gain control over your thoughts and give your thoughts to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just ask for your will on earth as it is in heaven. I just pray right now, Lord, that we don't stumble over what we are blessed to have here tonight for you, Lord, and that what we do for the glory of the Lord as our strength. Lord, all the good that I ask these family in here, Lord, what they represented today is because, you know what? It's now a part of our lives to give back to somebody else. In our past, Lord, and especially mine, I always took. And I really didn't look to do anything good for anybody else. But tonight, Lord, I heard a room full of brothers and sisters that did something good for somebody else. I heard in this room tonight, Lord Jesus, prayers of memory to the scripture. Because, Lord, as I was talking to my brother tonight, it's what we know from your word, and that is birthed into our hearts and impregnated in us to birth newness out our mouths, is to give hope to another brother and sister. So tonight, Lord, I pray for your spirit to continue to fall upon us fresh and be about the Father's business. And together all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So, I have learned that I'm kind of like, as I speak, I go squirrel, and I will go on a tangent over here somewhere, and it's not where God really wanted me. So now I'm learning how to put it on paper so I can stay a little more focused. Colossians 3:10 says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. All right, this thing's going to have to go. Sorry. If we are truly saved and surrender our lives to Christ, we will not stay the same. We won't. Our bodies will be transformed. Our thinking will be transformed. Our heart will go from a hard heart to a soft heart. We will be changed to be in the image of our Father in heaven. Our heart and lives will be transformed. We won't be doing what we want to follow the waves of the world, but we will be living for Christ. That's how I want to live. And I know that you don't come to faith-based mentoring just because of the pizza. There's something that draws you to this facility. And it's the power of Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard you speak several times before how you came here dragging the iron, and then pretty soon you came because you wanted to sharpen the iron. We will begin to desire what God desires for us. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world.
Yes, sir.
But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then we will learn to know God's will for us. And it's good. And it's pleasing, and more importantly, it's perfect. God's will for us. We all of us, have to put our minds on Christ and fill them with His Word. I was just talking to my brother here a few minutes ago, you know, before we started, and he was like, I feel called to do what you guys do. How do you learn? How do you get there? And I said, my Bible college was in prison. Hate to say it, but God blessed me with some downtime. And instead of going over there and smoking the weed or whatever it was, I studied the Word of God. I took that into my cell block. I took that onto the yard. I took that into the chapel. And that's how I learned what Jesus wanted for my life. Life is shaped by our thoughts. So we need to be careful of what we think. What we think determines what we do. You're like, I think I'm going to slap her I think I'm going to rob that gas station. I think I'm going to steal that car. I think I'm going to give them a piece of my mind that I can't afford to lose. Those are our thoughts. Psalm 119:15 says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways, which means I will think about them. I will meditate on them night and day. Not only do we have to watch our thoughts, but we have to be careful not to follow our emotions. I have this little thought process. I over E keeps me free. My intelligence over my emotions keeps me out of going back to prison. Have you ever had someone, and you know, especially us husbands. If we told our wives how we felt in that moment, the majority of the time we would not be husbands, you know? We would not be married to have a best friend in our relationships. Our emotions change. You can be sitting right next to him and he said something, your emotions is, I feel like I want to crack him. Then 10 minutes later, we walk out of here and hug each other. See, your emotions dictate what your actions are going to be. I over E keeps me free. My intelligence over my emotions. My intelligence says, he might have offended me, but if I'm praying and I have Jesus in my heart and in my mind, I don't have to give him a piece of my mind back. I don't have to do it. The courts want you to do their program in a certain way. My emotions say I will cut that anklet off and take off. Boom. They ain't going to do it. But my intelligence says they will eventually catch me. That's the way it is. Marvin, me, Lyle, several of the other brothers are in courts on Monday. Well, by God's grace, for some reason, it seems like I'm there all week. But what I see is they'll call the name from the box, or Fran Gohl or Wendy Davis, someone will call the name. The lawyer or the prosecutor will turn around, look, and go, oh, they're not here. Warrant. The next week, I see them in the box in this beautiful orange or blue, if it's a woman, and their hair's dyed. That one cracks me up. You know, you think you ain't going to get away just because you dyed your hair blonde? Dude, they know you. They are going to find you. Because, see, an addict goes back to its vomit, which means we go right back to the doghouse, which means we go right back to the hood, which means we go right back to trouble. It's only going to be a matter of someone going, hey, is there $100 reward on him? I know where he is. Wait till there's $1,000. All of them will call, dude. It'll be like, womp. 911 will have just red lights going off on it. Someone's going to tell on you. Or you're going to get so high that you're going to get picked up on the ground and you're going to be OD'd or you're going to be dead. Don't go by your emotions. We did the crime. We got to do the time. They didn't dictate us to go out with our emotions and go deal with what we had to do. We made a choice to go do what we had to do. We need to think. Not only do we have to watch our thoughts, but we have to be very careful not to follow our emotions. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Our heart is the center of our emotions. My brother and sister over here, praise God. I've watched her for a little while over at different places, you know that. But you're following your heart. You're following your heart. And the best part about it is you're having God mend your hearts together as one. Three, a cord of three cannot be easily broken. Praise God. So it is saying, don't be led by your emotions. They can't be trusted and they will lead you astray. Emotions are feelings and feelings change. They are dependent on outward circumstances. So we can't follow them. We have to go by what we know is right. For myself, I didn't know what was right or wrong. I was an abused kid, dude. I lived my whole world in ducking. Ducking and dodging. Ducking and dodging. Nobody instilled in me how to be a man. Nobody instilled in me how to have character. Nobody instilled in me how to competence. Nobody ever told me I would have a call this way. But I'm not just the only one in this room like that. That's why faith-based mentoring has such awesome men and women that have the integrity to give you a hand up, not a hand out. But they will walk through and teach you how to do life on life's terms with God. That's teaching us. That's the learning that we need to do every day. Iron sharpens iron. How many of you have a mentor, a godly mentor? I do. I've had mine for 21 years, and I've only been sober 13, so you know he went through a bunch of junk. You know, bottom line, dude, is if they're a good mentor, they're not going to kick you when you're down. They're going to kneel down alongside of you and say, hey, let me pray with you, and let's get back up. That's a good mentor. So we have to overcome our thoughts, our emotions, and our wants. The flesh was crucified with Christ. The flesh was crucified with Christ. And, you know, as I was preparing for this, I thought, how many in here tonight have not even accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior? How many don't even really know that that's your salvation? And if you don't, before you leave that parking lot tonight, please talk to one of us. Please talk to one of us. Because if the trumpet sounded tonight, would you be going to the heaven? To heaven? Or are you going to the smoking section? There ain't no middle ground. It's over. I asked somebody one time, I was like, dude, how far you think heaven and hell is? And he said, oh, no, he started doing all this mathematics. I said, it's that far. That far. That far. It's done. You don't get to come back. It's done. The flesh was crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, for you, for us. I don't know who in this room would throw themselves in front of another one right now except for the married people if someone came in here and started shooting. Now, if my wife was sitting right here, dude, I'd throw myself down. But I don't know if I would throw the tape. I don't know what would happen. But see, Jesus didn't worry about that. He died for all of us. Not only our past all of us, our present all of us, but our future all of us. Could you really do that? No. I don't care what you really think. You couldn't. Because there was only one perfect one, and his name was Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We have to deny ourselves our wants. Process that one for a minute. Think on that for a minute. Our wants. I want this mansion. I want this car. I want this job. Dude, if God wants you to have it, guess what? Nobody going to stop you. God's going to give it to you. Our desires. I think that if we know Jesus Christ on a personal relationship, our desires will not be an earthly desire. It will be a desire to serve the King of Kings. Our dreams. I want a log cabin in Tennessee on the Dragon Tail so I can ride my motorcycle up and down there all day long. That's a dream of mine. But that isn't where God's calling me. Our time. Mentors that go, and we don't get paid to do this. This is our. I tell people our pay here on earth isn't really good, but our retirement plan's out of this world. You know, that's why we do what we do. That's why we go to the 13-step house. That's why we go to Hope Court, Drug Court, why we go and hang out with them. And because, dude, those are that's our pay is up there.
Thank you,
dude. Our thoughts. Our words. Matthew 16, 24 through 20, and 25 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross.'" And daily, follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves. Brothers, it's hard. I'm not saying that this is an easy walk. If it was an easy walk, we would have 97% believers in Jesus Christ instead of only 3% of believers in Jesus Christ in the whole world. 3%. 3%. Wow. That's why in the Word it says narrow is the gate, but wide's the pasture. Because see, we're having out here, we're grazing. We think we got enough time to get in that narrow gate. We don't. We got to step up the game. We got to get on what God wants for us. Doing good works is not going to get you in heaven, but doing good is come from the Father. So we deny ourselves, we let God change our thinking by reading His Word, and we stop letting our emotions control us. If our lives are continually corrupted with unhealthy thoughts, we need to wash them with the water of the Word. Check this out. I lived in Rogue River, Oregon. Rapids. Whoom, they went down, dude. They went through the canyons. And these canyons, if you tried to hike up in them, they were sharp. They had, you know, it was just like rough. But in that water of the rapids, that rapid movement of the water smoothed the rocks. It made them where they would take and make jewelry out of these things and necklaces out of these things. And you could walk on them and stuff. And the rocks smooth the river stone, so, okay, that's why I wrote it down. Process. Just as the whitewater rapids soften the jagged edges of the rocks into smooth river stones, so does God's truth transform the shards of our broken thoughts into a firm foundation upon which we can build our faith. God's smoothing our edges. God's smoothing us out. With His love, His Word, His redemption. So I'm going to pass these things out. I'm going to go through some scriptures. And I always like to send you guys home with something that this time, instead of me doing all the work, I gave you the scriptures. I want you to do the work. Look them up. Philippians 4, 4 through 9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Check this out. That means delight in Him. Take pleasure in Him. Again, I will say rejoice. Let the gentle spirit, your graciousness, your unselfishness, your mercy, tolerance. Ha ha, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, you ain't. And patience. Someone told me one time, don't ever pray for patience because God will do everything He can to let you know what patience really is. So I omit that prayer. Yeah. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, which means every circumstance, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known to God, your specific prayers. And the peace of God, that peace that reassures our heart, that peace, which transcends all understanding, stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's yours. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right, confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, and if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things, which means center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, God, practice these things daily. Not just on Monday night. But see, I say this a lot. That exit sign right there, that should say entrance. There's your battle. This is easy. This is easy. Got a fat belly. You know, hear a little bit of word, heard some good things, but there's the battle right out there. How do you treat your significant other? How do you treat your wife or husband? How do you treat your children? Dude, I got a 13-year-old little girl. I swear Google don't even need to exist because she knows everything. All you got to do is just type her name in and she'll tell you everything. But that child and I, she's never seen me high or drunk. So we got this really cool relationship. But she's about this big now, and she's like 120 pounds, and she got my butt, so she's bony, but she still wants to plop herself on her daddy's lap and hang out there and lay her head up on my shoulder. And I said, can we get a blankie under your butt, you know, and put my leg to sleep? But see, I tell you in all funny, but here's the truth. Your kids want to be a part of your life. They don't want to keep writing letters with our J66997, our state of California, or 4919455, my Oregon ID. My older ones, that's how they kept in contact with me, was by the U.S. mail. This child, when I pull up out front, still comes out the front door going, I get dad first, and races my wife. How do your kids respond to you? Do they want to see you pull in the house? Or do they want to say, I sure hope dad don't come home mad again. I sure hope dad don't come home drunk again, or mom. What are you instilling in our future? What are you instilling in the ones that will be taking care of us? If we begin to think on things other than things of God, our spirit will change and become very self-seeking. We know, those sitting in this room tonight, we got another high in us. We know that. Why? Because we're sitting here breathing. I have buried 5 men in the last 2 weeks that thought they had one more high in them. They didn't. What really got me is I have a really dear friend that's a paramedic, and I was told after they gave the second dose of Narcan to one individual, that individual came to and said, wow, why'd you do that? I was almost there. I know one guy that they found under one of the bridges dead. They revived him, put him on life support. I went up there, prayed over him. The next day, he pulled all his life support, walked out. 4 hours later, he was dead again. And back up in there on life support. Ephesians 4:21, these are your verses down through here. I'm not going to read all these. I'm going to pick some of them out. But the reason I gave you that list on the left is for this. You have to know the word. But you also have to know how to get in the word. Anybody can read off of a piece of paper and read the scriptures. But if you personally don't know how to open up and what's in the Old Testament, what's in the New, start learning. It's not something that comes that quick. But if somebody came up to you outside of that entrance door and told you what they know in the Bible, you can say to them, what's that address? Where's that at? And if you know it in your heart and your thoughts, you can say, oh, no, wait, my word of God says the truth. Because, see, many different chapel or many different religions out there have picked just simple pieces of scripture to build their whole empire on. Other sheep will hear my voice, Mormons. So we have to be cautious of who says what to us, and they say, this is the word of God. Knowing the word of God. Proverbs 28:26, those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the second half. We take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So when a thought enters our mind, we need to take it captive and check it against God's word. But how can you check it against God's word if you don't know it? I sat there on the couch, and I'm fronting myself off. My wife will confirm it. But I got this, what I call a lazy boy chair. And I'll come in, and I'll grab the clicker, and I'll hit that TV. Boom. And she'll say, "What are you watching?" "Nothing." She said, "Well, you just turned it on. You're watching something." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm doing nothing." Men have a nothing box. Did you know that? Us men have a nothing box. We can sit right there next to our best friend and do nothing. We're not thinking of work. We're not thinking of cleaning the house. We're not thinking of nothing. We're not thinking nothing. We just got that. Now, women, I'm sorry to say you don't have a nothing box. Men's brains are like spaghetti. And if you ever took spaghetti and dropped it in hot water, it just goes... Because they can cook, they can clean, they can take care of the kid, they can make plans for the weekend, they can go ahead and talk to the neighbor across the fence. They can do all that at one time. But see, God blessed them with that ability. Men, we need to have a God box. We need to have that time, instead of getting there on that clicker and doing nothing, to reach over next to our chair and do something. Something that will glorify, edify, and magnify the King of Kings. When you're over there at these halfway houses or you're in these programs, blow the judge's mind by doing something good for yourself, learning who you really are in Jesus Christ. Because see, many of them won't learn. Many of them will do the revolving door, but you need to be the different. My wife now told me the other day, well, maybe a year ago or so, she said, "You are the most brutally honest man I know now." What do you mean now? But I knew what she meant. I was the type of guy that would say to her, "I'm going to get a gallon of milk," and I didn't come home for 3 days. And the milk never came in the house. She knew. But see, by me capturing my thoughts and giving them to Jesus, when I say I'm going to get a gallon of milk, it's ice cold when I walk in the door.
Oh, that's right.
It's ice cold when I walk in the door. So, these verses that are on the left, these are things for you to do as homework. And why do I call it homework? Because, dude, you don't need to be sitting there doing nothing. You need to be putting thoughts in your head that will bring Satan to his knees. And as the word says, we'll stomp him under his head and just squash him with our feet. When you're at work and you're driving along, and you brothers that work with Red River, let me just say this. We know the true brothers, and we love you. What goes on in the city, that's not who we know. But what we know is you guys with integrity, thank you for what you are doing for us. And what the Lord says about our thoughts, Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows people's thoughts. He knows they are worthless. I don't say it, that's scriptural. Isaiah 64:8, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We all are formed by your hand, including our minds. Circumstances may be outside of your control, but the way you respond or think about them is not. You have control. You have the control over your mind. So my challenge on the right side of there is some things for you to walk through and look on these things. You know, that's for you to take with you. And I'll leave you with this. What thought regularly comes into your mind, a thought that has turned into action, One that is destructive. Practicing taking it captive and thinking on things that are good. And the acronym for think, the T, is it true? The H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, thank you for my family here tonight, Lord Jesus. And as we think about our thoughts, Lord Jesus, may we not overthink them. May we realize, God, that there's some in this room that haven't even accepted you yet. They know, they heard, and they want to be. And so I pray for that individual here tonight, Lord, that he will want to know you and his salvation will be saved through the knowledge of saving grace from the King of Kings. I want, Lord Jesus, those that do know you, to be the iron that have been sharpening these other men and women in this room, to continue to speak truth, life, hope, and love from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, I pray a special prayer for Ben tonight, Lord, as he's hurt his neck. I pray right now, Lord, that as he's hopefully sitting down in his nothing box, that he will understand that that's okay. That his wife and children, Lord Jesus, will be able to support him in a way that only family can do. So again tonight, Lord, there's a lot of hurt habits and hang-ups in this room. But I pray tonight, Lord, as we walk out of that exit, that we remember that really is the entrance into the battlefield. And we take our minds and focus them on the King of Kings. So you do what only you can do. And that's mold us into the image of you. And together all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.